For contemporary Christian music. No, okay, I don't know. I used to be an old musician. We used to say that. Close enough for jazz, rock and roll. Okay, whatever. We're on. All right, we're continuing our studies in the book of Leviticus, where the Lord is showing to the tribe of Levi the proper worship. And we observe that in the first 5.5 chapters, the Lord was laying forth a number of offerings, and he was giving it from his vantage point. And last week we look at the final offering from his vantage point, which spanned chapter 5 and the first 7 verses of chapter 6, which was the trespass offering. Now, today we come to 2 chapters that kind of go together, from chapter 6, verse 8, all the way through the end of chapter 7. And what he's going to do in these 2 chapters, is the Lord is going to give the laws of the particular offerings, and he's going to kind of change the order as he brings them forth to us. And probably the key verses are at the end of chapter 7 with the paragraph marking. So we'll read those, and then we'll come back and take a look. Chapter 7, it says this in verse 35, Leviticus 7:35, that this is the portion of the anointing of Aaron and of the anointing of his sons out of the offerings of the Lord made by fire in the day when he presented them to minister unto the Lord in the priest's office, which the Lord commanded to be given them of the children of Israel, in the day that he anointed them by a statute forever throughout their generations. And here's that key verse. This is the law of the burnt offering, of the meat offering, and of the sin offering, and of the trespass offering, and of the consecrations, and of the sacrifice of the peace offerings, which the Lord commanded Moses in Mount Sinai, in the day that he commanded the children of Israel to offer their oblations unto the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. It's in this particular verse here that the Lord now will give a key verse where he'll take all the offerings and he'll put them together, and he'll kind of change the order that he had given beginning in chapter 1. The Lord, going back to chapter 1, if you remember, and I showed this overlay last week, the Lord presented the order of these offerings from his standpoint. And so you can see historically they follow those chapters as you work down. And doctrinally, what you see here in the doctrinal order is that the red represents the person of Jesus Christ, and the burnt offering being the person of Christ, the pureness and the sinlessness and the selflessness of Christ, all the way back from the foundation of the world, where God the Father and Jesus got together and looked down the corridors of time and said, you know, that creature we make in our image is going to fall, probably going to fall. Just like that other creature we made that wasn't in our image, that's a little bit above man, fell. Angels and cherubs and seraphims, just like they fell. And this is a creature made lower than them, and they're going to have a weakness and they're going to fall. And we have to have a plan as to how we're going to reconcile them. And the Lord literally in his eye with his son made up the order of these offerings, beginning with Christ and his perfect work all the way through Calvary. That would be number one. That would be like in the beginning God created, Genesis 1. Who's there? In the beginning, God and the Word, Christ is there with God, and that's Christ is going to offer himself from the foundation of the world as the burnt offering. And then number two, we have to going to have a way to communicate to that creature made in our image, and there would be the meat offering of the Bible. The Lord is going to see to it that his Word finds its way down here on planet Earth. That's his faithfulness. God is a God of reason. God is a God of speech. The reason we can speak and animals can't is because we're made in the image of God. And God is the Word. And God speaks. And he permits us to speak. And he wants to communicate. And so he said, next I will have a meat offering, a way to feed their minds and their hearts and their souls. And it will be through my Word, the Bible. And so the Lord wants to feed your soul. He wants to feed your spirit. He wants to feed your heart. He said, and then, of course, when that person of Christ and that Word enters, it will go into the heart. And that will be the peace that they will get. There will be no peace to the wicked. If you do not have the relationship with the God of the Bible through His Word and His Son, you don't have peace. This is one of the things we can easily preach when we're on the streets. This is one of the things we frequently preach when we're out there in the public place. Those people don't have peace that are walking by you. They can put on a face like they're okay, but the reality is there's a loneliness and an emptiness in their lives and in their soul. Even so much so that at a party, surrounded by people, they still feel isolated. There's no peace because they're not connected with God. And so the Lord said, I'm going to bring the burnt and the meat and the peace offerings representing the fullness of my Son and the Word of God, and finally, the peace that will reside inside their heart. But there must also be offering for sin and trespass. And that will represent the work of my Son, not His person, not the burnt offering, which is the perfectness of Him, but His work, the dirty work that He's going to have to do to pay for the sin of the world, taketh away the sin of the world, the sin that's woven right into their nature, the sin nature that they have. And we recognize we're born with a sin nature. It's real easy. Just go to a school and watch kids. Who taught them to be so mean and wicked? Where did that come? The teachers teaching them that? Oh, the parents must be teaching them that. No, it's just part of their nature. They're just naturally selfish and wicked and mean. That's how they are. And hopefully we temper them through teaching and society and teaching them to keep their sin to themselves. And usually they're not very good at that. But that's the sin nature. And so there will be Jesus Christ's work on the nature of sin at Calvary's cross and the trespass offering, which speaks of the individual personal offenses that you and I commit. And we really can't blame it on our nature anymore. We have to blame it on the fact that we love our evil deeds. This is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness because their deeds are evil. You know, the reality is, not only do we have a sin nature, but we love our sin. That's something we also preach. I tell them that you love your sin. I don't know what your sin is, but you love it. I know because I love my sin. You know, there's sins I couldn't care less about. There are a couple that I really like. Now, that's sad. And I know it's woven with my nature, but when I go out and commit it, that's a trespass. I know better. Okay? You may have some sins in your mind, you know, and part of that sin nature are yours. But don't you trespass and commit them now that you're a Christian. And when you do, there's an offering, thankfully, even for that, for the offenses that you commit. He's faithful and just to forgive us our trespasses. He forgives us our sins when we confess. So Christ's work for sin and trespass, again, looking down the quarters of time from God to Christ through His Son, seeing how it will go. But now, when we come to this chapter, we're going to look at it from man to God, and the offering's going to change up a little bit. And now when you look at it, this key verse reveals the order from man to God. And it changes a little bit, as we can see here. As he goes through these offerings, chapter 6 and 7, and given each particular law, the law is the first must be the burnt offering. The burnt offering will be first. Again, the burnt offering, that's back in chapter 6, verses 8 through 13, is that burnt offering, 8, the Lord spake to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering. Not a burnt offering, not one of many burnt offerings. It is the burnt offering. There is only one. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it, verse 13, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. The picture of the burnt offering of Jesus Christ, our God is a consuming fire, and the fire of the perfection of Christ that burns throughout all eternity, the bright and the morning star, the sun of righteousness. That's it, folks. That's how it is. And what God is saying is, if you want to approach Him, the very first offering you're going to have to come to is the work of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ. That's it. You don't come that way, you don't come at all. The door is shut unto you. There is a way that it must be done decently and in order, and you come to to God through the burnt offering of Jesus Christ, or you come not at all. If you are trying to have any other relationship with God, whether, first off, if it be through any religion on this planet that does not glorify the name of Jesus Christ, that would mean 5 billion people on this planet. There are 5 billion people on this planet that either have no relationship with God or some perverted relationship with some God that is not even using the name of Jesus Christ. They have no relationship with the God of the Bible. They do not have the burnt offering. They have the vanity of their mind. It is emptiness. They have no relationship. They are without God, and they are without hope. You must come by the burnt offering. Now, there's 1 billion plus people that theoretically are coming in the name of Jesus Christ, but they're not coming in the person and the perfectness of Jesus Christ. And God is saying here, you must come by Christ and Christ alone, the burnt offering, the only offering ever burning, never goes out, not the burnt offering plus another mediatrix, not the burnt offering plus a sacrament, not the burnt offering plus a work of yours, not the burnt offering plus a baptism or a church membership, but the burnt offering alone that burns, ever burning from morning till evening, that never goes out. That is the way you make the approach unto God. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. And I tell people, I tell them when I preach, I say, your only hope, the only hope you have, because you're not listening to me, I tell them, the only hope you have is that this book is wrong. That's your only hope. And you know what? I wish for your sake it were. But it isn't. You better seek out of the book of the Lord and read and find out that this book, this perfect book, which is the next offering, the meat offering, is then, now that you've come by Jesus Christ, it is time to start partaking of the Word of God with a little W. Now that you have received the burnt offering of the Word of God with a capital W, that's Jesus Christ, now it is time to partake of the meat offering of the Word of God with a little W. That's what ye must needs do. And the second way the man approaches God after he's learned of Jesus Christ is he gets in to the Bible and he feeds on the meat offering. This is what's verse 14. This is the law of the meat offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it before the Lord. He shall take of it his handful. There's a handful, verse 16, and the remainder thereof shall Aaron and his sons eat. With unleavened bread it shall be eaten in the holy place. And God's saying, now that you've learned of the burnt offering, you want to partake. You want to partake of the Word of God. Now, my observation, someone who hasn't come to the burnt offering usually doesn't have much interest in the meat offering. Before I had come to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I had no interest in the Bible. And I was a man that read. I'm a doctor. I'm used to reading books. I've been reading books for a long time. When I wasn't reading medical books, I would read other books. What was one of our favorite things? Go to bookstores. My wife and I would go to bookstores. I would buy books. I would read books. We had shelves full of books all over the place. The one book I didn't have, a Bible. Somebody brought me one in 1986. What was my interest? This is ridiculous. Get it out of here. Why? You're not interested in the meat if you haven't come God's way. You don't have those taste buds yet. You have not been born again. You've been born again. Then you want to partake of the meat offering. It's for Aaron and his sons and the priests that eat the meat offering in the holy place. I don't expect lost people to read the Bible. Now, I'll encourage them. And I'll tell them where to read. And by the way, you ought to do this too. There's two books you ought to give lost people to read in the Bible. John and Romans. John will show them the person of Jesus Christ. If they're a woman, they're into love stories, read John. If they're kind of heady and legalistic and religious, read Romans. Read the first 5 chapters of Romans. That's all it'll take. And you know, get into that. I'll tell them, if you really want to know and you really have an interest, I mean, you really want to seek, you claim you're seeking God, read those 5 chapters in Romans. Read them a couple times over. Read them slowly. They're not long chapters. You ever notice them? What's it? Some of the verses, 20 verses long. Come on, you can read that. Read through it. But if you are saved and you've had the burnt offering, God expects you to come through the meat offering then on a daily basis and to partake of the manna from heaven every single day. This is what he would like you to do. Verse 18, all the males among the children of Aaron shall eat of it. It shall be a statute forever in your generations concerning the offerings of the Lord made by fire. Everyone that toucheth them shall be holy. Now here's the key. You know, you want to be holy. I hear preachers preach how important it is to be holy. Do you know how you get holiness? From a holy Bible. It will be imparted unto you. A holy God will impart His Holy Spirit through His holy Word. That's how He does it. If you try and do it any other way, you will have a form of godliness, a form of holiness, but not according to the power thereof. The holiness will come through the Holy Bible. That's why it's given to you. We were talking about it the other night at the kitchen table. We were doing a Bible study. The Bible you're holding in your hands, if it's a King James Bible, you are holding the only perfect physical thing on planet Earth. There is no other perfect physical entity on this planet other than the King James Holy Bible. Every other physical thing on this planet is flawed. Whether it be some botanical specimen of a plant or a tree or a shrub or a bush, whether it be any type of an animal specimen from the lowest form of single-celled organisms all the way up to a multicellular human being, there are flaws in it. Whether it be anything that man has made, any structure that he's made has flaws in it. But this Bible right here, given by God, is pure and perfect. How can you say that? He said it. The law of the Lord is perfect. Psalm 19. Proverbs 30. Every word of God is pure. Not 99% of them. Every word is pure. The Bible you're holding, the authorized version of the Bible, is the one perfect physical entity on this planet, and it is holy, given by God, and it's there for you to partake of that ye may be holy, everyone that toucheth it. He's talking about a touching in a sense of you're handling it and you're looking upon it. I have some preacher friends of mine that believe that there's so much holiness that comes off this Bible that just if you sit here with the pages open and don't even read, you get a suntan from Jesus Christ. I don't know. I like to read it. But the Lord says the way you approach is the burnt offering followed by the meat offering. But then He changes the order. Instead of the peace offering next, then He speaks of the sin offering. And the reason He speaks of the sin offering is that, picking up where the sin offering is, it's verse 24. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, shall the sin offering be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. Now the sin offering is going to refer to the fact that we have a sinful nature. It's going to refer to us personally. It's going to be talking to it in verse 28. The earthen vessel wherein it is sodden shall be broken. The earthen vessel is the body that you have, the nature that you have in Adam. It is your first birth. And the picture is that your vessel needs to be broken. In the place, verse 25, where the burnt offering is killed, shall the sin offering be killed. Here's what he's saying. The burnt offering ultimately was killed at Calvary. And you want to take your sin nature and you want to get to Calvary where you get at the foot of the cross, on your knees, and you offer yourself up to the Lord so that He can break that sin nature in you. Now, it's going to be difficult. And the problem is because when we're done reading our Bibles, we get up and we get off our knees and we get away from Calvary's cross and we get back in the world. But we need to be crucified near to the Lord, numbered as one of the transgressors on each side of Him. We need to take up our cross, and it is there at Calvary by the burnt offering where the Lord wants to nail us to the cross. And I'll tell you something. It is the Christian that I meet that doesn't seem to understand the sinfulness of his own nature that is the most troublesome Christian. There's a bizarre kind of Christianity going on today. And I was at churches like this where they would preach about how good you are. Oh, you're such a wonderful congregation. You're so good. We're so happy to have you. And this kind of stuff. Look, you don't tell the Christian how good he is. You tell him to read his Bible, and the Bible will show him how deceitful his heart is and how wicked his heart is and the sin nature that flows through him, so that he will learn daily to fall upon his knees in brokenness and trust the Lord to live through him rather than trying to imitate Christ, which is what the Antichrist does. The King James Bible never has the word imitate in it. No one's ever told to imitate Jesus Christ in a Bible. The Antichrist is going to imitate Jesus Christ. Your job is to be broken, and nevertheless Christ liveth in me. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless he liveth in me. You're to be followers of Christ, empowered by the Spirit of Christ, following the trail that he's blazed, not imitating him. And the sin nature, that sin offering reminds us, oh my goodness, of my own self. What would I really do out there on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's why this is so important. The earthen vessel wherein it is sodden shall be broken. And a broken and a contrite spirit is just that which the Lord can use and his Spirit can fill. It is that humble, broken spirit that the Lord's Spirit fills. What about the proud spirit of the satisfied, smug, self-serving, modern Laodicean Christian? God resisteth the proud spirit. You don't see the Holy Spirit filling those type of Christians. I know, I've dealt with them. They're very carnal. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit. This is, God says, you want to follow the proper order in coming to me. You come to my Son, then you spend time in my Word. By the way, that's the problem with those other Bibles. That is the problem. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. You remember when we were studying in the book of Exodus and they made the brass laver as one of the articles at the tabernacle. And the brass laver was filled with water. And the priests would go up to the brass laver, and it was made of the looking glasses of assembling. It was made of a mirrored substance. And they would look in the water, and as in water, face answereth to face, they would look in there and they would see themselves in that brass laver. When you look in the Bible, it's like a mirror. The Bible is like a mirror, and it reveals you to yourself. That's the authorized version of the Bible. It reveals you in your smallness and Christ in his magnificence. You read those other Bibles and it diminishes Christ and it lifts you up and makes you kind of equal. I hear Christians pray prayers like Brother Jesus. That's a strange prayer to pray. I don't think of him as my brother. I think of him as my Lord and my God. I belong at the bottom of his feet, prostrate on my face. I don't think of me as buddying down the street with Jesus. But those other Bibles give a warped view. And what happens is, when you're partaking in the wrong meat offering, you don't have the impact and the fullness of your sin nature. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 8. It's pretty much where we are today. Vanity is of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. It's pretty much where we are today. It's pretty sad to see not only the world, but the church. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Now watch this, verse 10. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. That's what's needed today in Christianity. Acceptable to God, not acceptable to the people in the pews. Okay? What God considers acceptable words. And that which was written was upright. Not that which is being written by the latest translation committee. That which was written by God and his prophets and his translators. Even the words of truth. Now watch verse 11. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from, you can underline it, one shepherd. That's the chief shepherd. That's Jesus Christ. And here's what he's saying is, Jesus, the burnt offering, gives you the meat offering. And if you spend time in the meat offering, that one shepherd takes the nails and nails you to the cross. He crucifies you. Folks, you can't crucify yourself. That's the one form of suicide you can't commit. Want to take a gun to your head? You can do it. You want to fall on a sword? You can do it. You want to take a drug? You can do it. You want to swallow a poison, you can do it. You can do all kinds of things. You can't nail yourself to a cross. You can't do it. You might be able to get the feet there. And you might be able, I don't even know how you can get the other hand there. How are you going to hold the nail? You can't do it. But the one shepherd can take these nails and these goats in this meat offering, in this book, in this pure water, and he can nail you to the cross. He'll crucify you if you'll show up. If you'll be a living sacrifice like Isaac, willing to climb Mount Moriah and lay yourself down. And so he's showing the order here. You got to come his way. I tell you, the mess in Christianity right here, step number two. They don't have the right meat offering. They got the wrong Bible today. And that's why you're going to see why they never get to the last step, which is peace. The average Christian today is as full of phobias and depression and mania and all kinds of psychological problems as the average lost person. And it's real sad. And most of them are trying to paper it over with Christian psychology, and they don't have the meat offering. And you're going to see tonight, this is the way it's supposed to come. Go back to Leviticus where we were. So when you get Jesus, and then you get his Bible, and you begin to see the wickedness of your sin nature, one other thing will the Lord point out to you as you're walking along with him, not only that you have a sin nature, but you have individual trespasses that you commit, chapter 7, verse 1. And likewise, just like you have a sin offering and a sin nature, this is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy in the place where they kill the burnt offering, shall they kill the trespass offering, and the blood thereof shall he sprinkle round about the altar. And what he's saying is the thing that you're going to do is when you recognize, not only do I have a sin nature and I want to sin, but I actually went out and did something I ought not to have done. I committed a sin, a transgression with my lips, a transgression with my hands or my feet. Or I trespassed in a sin of omission. And there was somebody that went by that God gave me an open door to give the gospel of Jesus Christ to. And I just kept my mouth shut. And I trespass in omitting that which God would have me to do and being the watchman he would have me to be. At that point, you bring your trespass offering. And you get down and you confess unto the Lord. In Christianity today, there's not enough confession of our trespasses. I'm not talking to me or to you. I'm talking to the Lord. These things have to be done unto the Lord. The trespass is given. You give it to the Lord. You don't give it to someone else. He mentions this at the last verse of chapter 6. Watch verse 30. No sin offering whereof any blood is brought into the tabernacle of the congregation to reconcile with all in the holy place. When it's the sin offerings of the sin that you have, the part of your nature that's troubling you, or the trespass offering of something you committed, it's not to be confessed in the congregation of the holy place. It's not good for men to confess unto men. That's a bad thing to do. It troubles both the man that confesses and the hearer. And the Lord knows that. One of the problems that happens when a man confesses to a man is the guy who's in a little bit better position says in his mind, I wouldn't do that. I'm a better Christian than he is. I'm not so bad after all. Because he begins to get his eyes on another man. And one of the things that brings people down is the confession of sin one to another. And the way it's supposed to be done is when you're in the meat offering and the Bible's revealing the holiness of Christ and the sinfulness of yourself before God, you don't get one of these type of levels. You were just a few inches apart. You know, kids do that. Who's taller? I'm about 2 inches taller. Oh, isn't this wonderful? You line up next to Jesus Christ and it's a little pea in the pod against the big giant. You don't even think of measuring yourself up against Christ. You just think of falling down. And the concept of confessing sin one to another is what messes things up. We're never told in the Bible to bring sin into the holy place and confess one to another. It's to be done privately to Christ. Sin and trespass offering brought privately unto Jesus Christ, where he's faithful and just. And by the way, he won't reveal your sin to someone else. He'll bind you up and he'll put it behind his back and he won't remind someone else of it. He'll help you get back on your feet, but the relationship is with him. And the sin and the trespass offering goes unto him. And then he talks about in verse 37, after the trespass offering in 7:37 is the consecrations. The consecrations. And now this is going to be something that's going to come along in your life that you personally, and I have no part in this between you and the Lord, and you have no part between mine and the Lord. But as you walk with the Lord through the meat offering and the sin offering and the trespass offering, there's going to be times in your life when you're going to speak to the Lord frankly and openly, and you're going to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Just as Paul did. Lord, you must have something for me to do down here. I mean, you never make anything without a purpose. Certainly, Lord, you have a gift for me, something you would like me to do in the body of Christ. And you're going to consecrate yourself to the Lord in your gift. Now, I've done it to the Lord in my gift. My gift is teaching. That's about it. I don't have many other gifts. I have a gift of teaching. I wish I had some of those other gifts mentioned in Romans 12 or Ephesians 4 or 1 Corinthians, but I don't have them. I have the teaching gift. So my consecration and other consecrations I've made in certain times to the Lord, these are my consecrations. They'll be your consecrations as you follow this path from the burnt to the meat to the sin of the trespass. After you've gotten those trespass behind you, you'll make consecrations unto the Lord. You ought to. You ought to. Matter of fact, I say you must. Because if you don't, you won't get the last part of verse 37, which is the peace offering. You see, ultimately, God reveals this order to come to Him as you have to come His way. When I see a Christian without peace, and I meet them often, they're not following this order. They're not following this order. And this is the order that God's given, not me. This is the book of Leviticus. Are you one of God's priests? Have you been born again? Are you a part of a royal priesthood unto God, as Peter says? Then if you are, then the Lord expects this of you. You've received the burnt offering. Okay, Christian, you're watching on TV. What you need to do is get the King James Holy Bible. Get the right meat offering. You need that. I'm not kidding you. You can't do this decently and in order without it. And once you get a hold of that book, now let me just give you a personal testimony, Christian watching on TV. I had the burnt offering and I had the wrong meat offering. And I thought I was okay. I thought Jesus was my buddy for the first 6, 7, 8, 9 months. And when someone brought me this book and I started reading through it, my life verse became Genesis 6:5. Open it at home, read it. Open that verse at home and read it. And God saw that every imagination of the heart of man was only evil continually. I began to see my sin nature and my trespasses. And then I began to confess and to weep. And then I began my consecrations and I got my peace. And I have peace with God. And the Lord wants you to have peace, a strong peace, an inner peace in the midst of the circumstances that go on down here. The last thing that comes is the peace offering, Leviticus 7:11. I guess that's lucky they say 7:11. I don't know the numbers wise. 7:11. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings which he shall offer unto the Lord. Verse 12. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, you can underline it. This is the first time in your Bible the word thanksgiving is ever found. This is the first time the word is found in your Bible. And it's found to a priest that has followed the due order in the offerings given by God. And what will really happen is when you follow the due order of God, like David did, and you come past the consecration, and you come into the peace of God, you will have a heart of thanksgiving. You will find yourself giving thanks to God. You will finally have put things decently and in order in your heart. You will have sanctified the Lord God in your heart. There are many Christians who have received the Lord God in their heart, but they have not sanctified Him in their heart. But once they do, there's a thankfulness. One of the ways you can tell a Christian who's walking with his Lord is he has the fruit of the peace offering of thanksgiving. There is a thankfulness to a Christian walking in peace with God. And there's an unthankfulness to a Christian who's not walking in peace with God. They are unthankful and unholy. Wait, I thought they were saved. Oh yeah, they're saved. They're saved, but they're still unthankful and unholy. Go around. You may be one of them. Again, I counsel you, get the meat offering and go in order from there, and you'll get the thanksgiving of peace. That's what will happen to you. You will find yourself offering the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mingled with oil. You will offer up small pieces of the Holy Bible to God with the Holy Spirit in thanksgiving. You will find yourself praising Him with Scripture verses and the Holy Spirit. That's what you'll find. And unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil, a fine flour. That's the person of Jesus Christ. Fried, that's the fire that burns. And then verse 13, and besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. Now those two verses, verse 12 and 13, will line up with two verses in the book of Romans. Verse 12 will line up with Romans 5:1. And verse 13 will line up with Romans 12:1. So let's turn there and I'll show you. Romans 5:1 will be verse 12. This is the thanksgiving of the sacrifice of unleavened cakes mingled with oil. When you've come God's way through these sacrifices, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he's talking about of the unleavened cakes mingled with oil in the 12th verse. You'll have the great thanksgiving when you begin to see what God has done in your life through removing your sin, forgiving your trespasses, consecrating you unto himself, and you'll have that wonderful thanksgiving. And then in the 13th verse, you're allowed to offer leavened bread. That's Romans 12:1. Jesus unleavened, made in the form of sinful men, but without sin, holy, harmless, undefiled. But verse 13, the leavened cakes are you and me. 12:1 of Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Here's your leavened, Adamic body, but now containing the Holy Spirit and a vessel fit unto usefulness, a vessel of mercy of God, walking in peace with God. You know, the greatest peace you'll have is when you've come through all these offerings and you've consecrated yourself into a living sacrifice unto God. Amen. Amen. Try and have peace. Some of the most miserable people I know are Christians that are not consecrated unto God. It's almost better to be lost. Well, I mean, for down here on planet Earth. I think if you're going to live on planet Earth, you live better as a lost man than you will as a Christian unconsecrated. You'll have more fun as a lost man. Now, when you die, you'd much better be in the saved, miserable Christian, because at least you get to go into heaven. But for the time you're down here, you're going to be miserable. I know a lot of miserable Christians. They're miserable to me, too, and to everyone else around them. But they're miserable to themselves, because they're not consecrated and they don't have that peace and they haven't offered themselves and presented their bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. They don't have the acceptable words. They don't have the Holy Bible. They haven't learned the depravity of their sin nature and they haven't consecrated themselves. But here it is. Here it is right here. Romans 12:1 and Romans 5:1 lines up with those two verses of the peace offering the first time you find thanksgiving. And the Lord said, this is the way you must come. Now, that's basically it. We're done. But I want to show you some other things because God put so much in this book. There are other things. If you're reading down through this passage here, you will see that when it comes to offering the cakes of the Thanksgiving peace offering, it says that, verse 16, if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten, but the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. So 2 days it's good, third day it's burnt. 18. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It shall be abomination, and the soul that eateth thereof shall bear his iniquity. Again, 2 days, and then it's not acceptable. And what the Lord, I think, is packing in here is Job 24:1, Psalm 90, and 2 Peter 3. Seeing the times are not hidden from the Almighty, why is it that they that know Him do not know His days? A day unto the Lord like 1,000 years. And what He's showing is in verse 16 that for the Mosaic economy, it was basically a two-day economy. It was 1,500 plus years. Day and a half rounded up to 2 days. And on the third day, it wouldn't be accepted anymore. The Mosaic economy would be put behind as we'd move into the dispensation of the church age and grace. And then He shows you in verse 16... verse 18, that here, even the sacrifice of His peace offering, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, even that has a two-day period for it. And if you don't get it by the third day, it won't work. The church age is going to be 2 days long. The church age is 2,000 days long. And then Jesus is going to say, come up hither, and the church will be over, and the body of Christ will be taken out of there. And then just to run around and try and receive Jesus Christ under the dispensation of grace, it won't be accepted. At that point, it'll be imputed unto you. At that point, if you're going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to pay for it with your head. You're going to lose your head. You've got about a 7-year period there in the tribulation. And that's about it. So I think he's just hiding those little things in the verses. Later on in this particular chapter, he talks about verse 22, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, ye shall eat no manner of fat, of ox or of sheep or of goat. And the fat of the beast that dieth of itself and of the fat that which is torn with beasts may be used in any other use, but ye shall in no wise eat it. For whosoever eateth the fat of the beast of which men offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, even that soul that eateth it shall be cut off from his people. And he talks about not eating fat. And there is a spiritual significance of it that honestly escapes me. But I do know there's a medical significance to that particular verse that actually helped the Jewish people over those many years. I have 3 books here written by medical doctors. One is by Dr. McMillan, and this is Dr. Russell, and this is Dr. Cherry. All 3 of them are MDs, not PhDs. They actually went to medical school, did pre-med medical school, and then postgraduate training. And in here they're talking about, one of them was talking to his professors several years ago. I asked a professor of animal husbandry at Oklahoma, what animals have the worst fat, the hardest fat? You see, from medical research, we learned that fat is a particular tissue. Not only stores energy, but it stores toxins and stores parasites and stores various harmful chemicals. And there's a tumor that's formed inside human bodies called atheromas. I don't know if you ever heard of them. Atheromas are small, little, fatty tumors. And these little tumors develop inside of blood vessels. And these little fatty tumors develop inside blood vessels. And if they get calcium, then they sclerose and become arteriosclerosis and atherosclerosis. And it impedes blood flow. And what the Lord is saying here is the number one cause of these atheromas is eating the fat of animals, hard fat, what's called hard fat. There's hard fat is fat that is firm at room temperature. And I asked the professor at Oklahoma, what's the hardest fat? He said, without hesitation, the hardest fat is found in cows, oxen, sheep, and goats. Cows are oxen, sheep are goat. Look at the verse. Ye shall eat no manner of fat of ox or sheep or goat. Just from a nutritional standpoint, God was protecting his priests. It's good advice nutritionally for you too today. I know it tastes good, but it's not healthy for you. And so there alone, God, he said, you know, if you follow my commandment, with long life will I bless you. Hear my words, son, in Proverbs. That's one of the things right there. Just obeying that helped them. Now, he did say you could use it for other things. It may be used, verse 24, middle verse, may be used in any other use. You could take that hard fat and use it for making soap or candles or a medicinal salve or a lubricant or paint or varnish or in the leathering process. You can do it for that, but don't eat it. So it's just a nutritional fact that the Lord has right there to protect His people. So the thing that the Lord is showing us here, as we finish these two chapters, is that God has an order for approach unto Him. And so often, you know, we're like children. You know what I mean? Children want to do things their own way. And a parent comes along to instruct the child in how to do something right. And we as children of God sometimes think now that we're born again, we can do things our own way. But God says in the book of Leviticus, the book of worship, my way is the only way. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Hear the instruction of a father. Attend to know my words. Walk in the way that I have shown you. And the way that he says is, you come to Christ first and foremost. I should have circled it in red there. And then you spend time in the meat offering on a daily basis. And you say, I'm not good at reading. Hey, you can now get Bibles, you can listen to them on MP3 players and listen to Alexander Scoresby read it better than any of us can. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And you can do it that way. And that will remind you of your sinfulness and your trespasses, and you can confess and consecrate, and you can walk with the peace which passeth understanding that Paul speaks of in Philippians. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. To Paul's favorite church. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. Not like your mother says, be careful, watch out, or beware. This is, don't have cares. Don't be full of cares for all the things on this planet. A man's life consisted not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Don't have many cares over things, over nothing. Be careful for nothing. Don't let things occupy your mind. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Remember the first time Thanksgiving is mentioned, the peace offering? Look at the next verse. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds. How? Through the burnt offering, Christ Jesus. It all comes full circle. It loops right around. And the peace offering brings you right back to the burnt offering. And then what happens? And then finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, there's the meat offering. Whatsoever things are honest, in the meat offering. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things that you'll find in the Bible. And then what happened? Those things which you have both learned and received and heard, and see in me do. There's your consecration. Watch it. And not only the peace of God, the God of peace shall be with you. That's even better than the peace of God. When the God of peace is filling you and walking with you, and there it loops around. And so what do you say? Well, the Bible just needs to be read and reread and reread, and you go from the burnt to the peace and to the burnt and to the peace, and it just fills and grows, and it should be an upward spiral, an upward ladder, ascending. Jacob's ladder, where the angels of God are ascending and descending on it, drawing you up closer, the messengers of God. That's the order that God has for you and me, the priests of God in the book of Leviticus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the picture that you've given to us and how we are to come. Lord, thank you that you have provided the burnt offering and you have provided the meat offering. Jesus the Christ has come. And the authorized version of the Bible was given by the author and finisher of our faith personally. And Lord, we can provide the sin and the trespass and help us to do it on our knees, Lord, and consecrate. And Lord, then give us the peace that only you can give, to give us the fruit of thanksgiving with our lips, so we can praise and adore and worship and say, worthy is the Lamb of God, for all honor and praise and blessing and glory. And all of us say, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.